welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunabrini. Before we begin, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices mentioned that I may talk about today are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly, and past performance is no guarantee of future result. Remember, investing involves risk. Depending on types of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. And the views expressed here are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, and matters money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about your lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. Today's show, 337, entitled Correction. If you remember two shows, the last two shows that I've done, about 2.5 weeks ago was called Stock Jitters. That show was about how I was feeling, you know, that I was just getting a little nervous about what this market was doing, reaching all-time new highs and pushing there, and Delta variant spiking new cases, and we had all the government stimulus was winding down. I know all the enthusiasm was there from all the consumers. Y'all were shopping, and some of you were traveling. But I'd said that I was nervous and that we were going to a very conservative position, neutral position. And the show before that was entitled Bad Feelings and Stealth. Now, that was the first week of September when I did that show. And I was saying again that I had some real bad feelings about what was coming. It was very similar to what I saw in March of 2020, which was Dow reaching new highs, not much consideration given to COVID back then. I paralleled that to not much consideration of what the economy was really doing this time around, and how everybody was ignoring it, and that correction was possible, and it's better to miss a top than get caught in a fall. So, am I blowing my own horn? Maybe, you know, you have to, you know. I'm always, I'm not right all the time. Obviously, nobody is right all the time. But I am usually early. But, you know, it's better to be early in investing and get the hell out or whatever you do, you know, to not get caught. So it's a little early. But, you know, I never issued an all-out sell warning, never, this time around. But, you know, the last week or 2 weeks ago, it was pretty much going kind of ultra-conservative. So where are we? Well, the Dow is sitting in the right around 34,000, okay? And it has a high. Let's click on a chart of the Dow, and we'll take a look at this. It had a high of what? Did it get to 36,000? Nah, it got to 35,600, somewhere near. And we're at 34,000. Now, that's not the recent low, but let's divide 34,000 by 35,600, and we get a correction of 4%. Not too terribly bad. The Dow is now bouncing around. Today, I'm recording this show, the Dow is down about 266. Last week, Friday, it was up, I don't know, about 455, and the day before is down. So it's called whipsaw action. Now, this could be an indication of a climax bottom, okay? There's two things that could be going on here. When we see continued erosion, in my experience, and I've been doing this since literally probably about 19, looking at it since about 1974. So when I've seen continued erosion over time, it usually will end with a capitulation moment. And all the previous crashes that you might all remember in the last 10 or 20 years have you ended in a capitulation moment. The one in the fall of, I think it was November 2018 or I don't know, somewhere around there. Capitulated with a 600-point drop on Christmas Eve, which is a half a day of trading. So that Christmas Eve, that was the most volatile Christmas Eve ever. Normally Christmas Eve is quiet because people are cooking turkeys and wrapping presents and getting the kids ready. But this one was about 10 weeks after continued erosion, and then it capitulated. Down 600 points, and then it stopped and kind of oscillated around. Now, what I look for is it falls, and then it kind of bounces around for a while. Kind of bounces around and finds a bottom, okay? That's what it could be doing. Don't know. I mean, the market looks weak, and so we'll see, you know. Fridays are always key. You never want to see a down Friday, close at a down Friday, because people get nervous over the weekend. And margin calls, which is debt borrowed by traders, even mom and pop investors to buy stocks. Stocks drop and you borrow money. Sometimes the brokerage firms will ask for more money. It's like, well, you lost 10% and we loaned you a certain amount, so you got to put up a little bit more money because we don't want to risk ours. So they always like to establish a cushion. They want more money in the account than is lost. And so that's called a margin call. And we see it happen over the weekend in a down market on a Friday. So we could be seeing a continued erosion because I haven't really seen a capitulation here. Also, it has the characteristics of a bear market, which is normally up slightly during the morning and then down in the afternoon. Now, it has been that way, but the last couple of days, it's been reversed. And so bull market action that indicates that the stock market may run, is down in the morning, up in the afternoon. Down in the morning, up in the afternoon. Bear market action, in my experience, is up slightly in the morning and down in the afternoon. And what that is when it ends down in the afternoon, traders overnight will start to buy, thinking it's a good buy, and then they get scared later in the afternoon and then sell it off. So that's bear market action. Bull market action is the market runs in the afternoon, and then overnight they get nervous, they start taking some profits, and then when it falls a little bit, they rebuy. They buy the dip. So we were seeing bear market action. Not quite sure what it's doing now. It is bouncing around. It could be what we call a climax bottom. Now, nothing in stock theory is set in stone, okay? But sometimes what happens when we see a stock finish a run up or finish a fall down, the stock makes wild moves. So it'll go up and up and up and up and up, and then it'll drop, and then it'll bounce, and the bounces get really radical and high and low and high and low, and that's a climax top, and then it falls. Same happens on the bottom. On the bottom, what can happen is that the stock falls and falls and falls and falls, and then it kind of hits an area where it starts bouncing wildly, and then it stops falling and finds some sort of a bottom, climax bottom. So I'm not quite sure what I'm seeing here, but this is October. Normally September, as I mentioned in the last show, is the most brutal month for stocks, but not by much. Historically, September is the worst month. Most people think it's October. And what I mentioned in September, September is worse by about 3 or 4% over the rest of the year, so it's not a lot. But what I mentioned sometimes is that when September falls but is not totally destroyed, people get paranoid about October, and then they start selling in October. So it is interesting what we're seeing, that October was kind of a fall, and then they started buying. So we'll see what happens. It's hard to tell what's going on here. But again, better to miss a top than ride a bottom. Ride it to the bottom. So we'll see what happens. Dow seems to be recovering a little bit. So we'll see. Okay, you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. This is show 337 called Correction. And my name is Mark Gunnabrody. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about that gut feeling that you may have about the stock market. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. And welcome back to Money Matters. Thanks for joining me. My name is Mark Cunabrutti. You're listening to show, 337, entitled Correction. And So we'll keep an eye on the Dow today. But my question is, do you ever get that gut feeling, that it's time to get out? Yeah, I've had that myself. But I've kind of developed, a better sense that those gut feelings generally really shouldn't be listened to. And let me just talk about that for a minute. During times of market duress, investors sometimes say they get a gut feeling about where the market is headed. Less likely to occur these gut feelings during up markets. Somehow the brain of investors develops some storyline during market corrections that it's only going to get worse and that their guardian angel, or whatever you call it, is telling them to sell their stocks and get out. I once had an investor shake wooden cubes to tell me whether she wanted to buy or sell stocks. So everybody has their method, the tea leaf method, I guess. Since many mom-and-pop investors are not very schooled in how markets operate, and they aren't, let's call a spade here, their gut feelings are just that, feelings based on nothing concrete. It is more likely that their gut feeling is reacting to what already is transpiring in the markets instead of some divine intervention protecting their investments. So their gut feelings are usually coming when things are bad in the market, and you get kind of a gut feeling that it's bad in the market when it's already bad. Usually late to the party, I always say that I'm early in my prognostications. I'm always early. But usually late to the party, mom and pop investors do not realize that the markets may be reacting to what we call the random walk theory. The theory states that stocks do not follow any predictable pattern, but instead take a random and unpredictable walk as related to their prices, and therefore forecasting where prices will go is impossible. Also for our consideration is what is also called the consistent market theory. This theory assumes all information about companies and their stock is known, and therefore already priced into the market. Unless it is insider information, which, by the way, is illegal to trade on, whether you're insider or whether somebody has told you inside information, you cannot trade on that. The price of a stock is where it should be at any given time. Let me repeat that. The price of the stock is considered to be where it should be at any given time. This means thinking a stock is cheap or expensive and should move up or down accordingly sometime in the future is nonsense. Gut feelings, in my experience, are also nonsense. Although some gut feelings will always prove out to be true, in accordance with what happens next in the markets. It's just luck, right? You have a feeling the market's going to go up or down, as you got a 50-50 chance of being right. Gut feelings can just as easily be wrong. Forecasting markets is impossible with certainty. It's impossible. And although there are advisors, analysts, and investors that seem to be right more often than wrong to know what will happen in the markets, for sure, is the unattainable holy grail of investing. When mom and pop investors claim to have a gut feeling as to where the markets will go, in my experience, they are usually wrong. The reason is that the markets are only the sum of all the decisions of all the investors in it at any one time. I've always said the market is only the sum of all the investors' perception any one day, but the markets will reflect reality eventually, okay? But its day-to-day movements are just everybody's feelings all balled together in a big bait ball like you see those fish in the ocean. So if the markets are falling and you get a gut feeling to get out, there may be just as many traders thinking falling markets yield excellent buying opportunities. More often than not, when mom and pop decides to sell, it may actually be time to start buying. The reason trading on gut feelings could be hazardous to your health and to your portfolio is because these feelings are usually reactionary and are responding to what already has occurred. So you get a gut feeling to sell only when the market's already fallen. It means if someone comes to me and tells me they have a gut feeling the markets will sell off, it usually happens when the markets have already done so. Hence the old adage, the markets climb a wall of worry. The markets climb a wall of worry. In other words, when people are worried that the market will crash, it has a tendency to climb. Not always. That's why we can never forecast with 100% certainty. And the markets usually fall when everybody thinks you can do no wrong and buy stocks is the only thing you should do. So if it's overconfidence, irrational exuberance, as Greenspan said, your ex-Fed chief, that's the time to start worrying. When people are worrying, that may be the time to not worry, but we never know. Right now, I'm concerned. And I have been concerned for a month and a half. It looks like right now that those concerns were warranted. But we'll see. If you as an investor or just somebody interested in the markets desire to improve your ability to strive toward better market forecasting, you can start by educating yourself on the market in general. I've always said education is the cornerstone of progress. And this holds true for those desiring to be a more knowledgeable, capable, and accurate investor and forecaster. Right? Learn about the markets and it'll improve your odds. Although no one can forecast where markets will go with 100% certainty, some people are better at it than others. And I find that those that are consistently on the right side of things don't achieve their success by listening to their gut feelings. Instead, the ones I know that are better market prognosticators are highly educated in everything that has to do with the markets and our economy. So there you go. Trust your gut feelings? Yeah, I don't know. Learn about the markets. Probably better way than trusting a gut feeling. My name is Mark Cunambrady. You're listening to Money Matters. We'll be right back.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You've done us wrong. We never see a headline, but a red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can let that guy right in the eye. We're in the money. Come on, my honey. Let's spend it, spend it, spend it, rolling along.
Matters. My name is Mark Cunambrady. You're listening to show 337, correction underway. Well, I'd mentioned at the beginning of the show, my last two shows were entitled Stock Jitters. That was in the third week of September. And I detailed the show about how I was nervous about what the stock market was doing. And then the show before that, first week of September, was called Bad Feelings and Stealth. So the stealth part was I was referring to inflation, how that's a tax on the poor. But bad feelings was my feelings about the market, as I was nervous about what the market was doing. And so for a month, I've been nervous about it. So one of the concerns, at least in recent weeks about the market has a lot of things that it is concerned about, is inflation. The market's concerned about it because if inflation gets out of hand, the Federal Reserve is going to have to raise rates, and the market never likes rates increased because it makes borrowing money more expensive. And if people are borrowing money to buy stocks or they're getting more in their CDs or savings account, they're less likely to go into the stock market, or their funding for borrowing money gets more expensive and cuts down on their expendable income. So one of the biggest causes of inflation, and we talked about this before, is called monetary inflation. What is monetary inflation? Well, there's a lot of different types of inflation. There's supply side inflation. Let's say a disease wipes out all the apples in America. Well, prices would go up because the supply is diminished. There's demand side inflation. Let's say people find out that eating an apple a day makes you live to be 200 years old. Then demand would spike and the prices would rise. There are other risks. We call it, one is regulatory risk. Let's say the government outlaws apples, its price would fall. So there are various different types of inflation. The most common that we see, in my opinion, why the stock market always goes up since last 150 years, because the stock market is like a price of a candy bar. You get inflation in the price of a candy bar, and you get inflation in stocks, the companies that sell the candy bar. And so monetary inflation is the example that I use, is I lock a room full of 100 people and I give everybody $1,000. And the only rule is you cannot combine your funds with somebody else. And I raffle off a gold coin worth $5,000. Well, obviously, we assume that everybody with $1,000 would want to buy the gold coin worth $5,000. So the top bid would be, because everybody only has $1,000, would be $1,000. So now, before I sell the coin, I hand out another $1,000. Well, now every person in the room has $2,000. And since they cannot combine funds and the coin is worth $5,000, everybody now bids $2,000. So the coin did not change magically in my hand. It did not get any bigger. The price of the coin, determined by the amount of dollars in the room, doubled. That is monetary inflation. The money in the system, in the locked room, increased. So prices go up. Doesn't matter if it's a locked room, a closet, a country, or the globe. You print more money. And because money is exchanged for real things, goods and services, you print more money. Since the goods and services quantity doesn't increase, the price increases because there's more money. That's monetary inflation. Monetary inflation can only come by the authorities that are handling the currency. So in the case of Mexico, we have the Mexican peso. They print a lot of pesos and everything goes crazy in Mexico. Zimbabwe, the same sort of thing, and on and on. In the United States, it's called the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve controls our currency, and there you go. When they print a lot of money, they also record it under the national debt, and to no one's surprise, the national debt grows longer, grows larger by the day. Actually, it grows larger by the second. For a sobering look on just how fast and how much the United States government owes, check out usdebtclock.org. usdebtclock.org. Our debt is about to hit $29 trillion. That's what we spend and are spending and do not take in from revenue like taxes. That stunning does not include our unfunded liabilities, which are debts we are on the hook for but are not yet due. So we got things we're going to have to pay, but they're not due yet. Those are unfunded liabilities. How much is $1 trillion? Remember, we owe $29 trillion and our unfunded liabilities are $157 trillion. Measured in time, 1,000 seconds is 17 minutes. 1,000,000 seconds is 11.5 days. Okay? 1,000,000 seconds is 11.5 days. 1,000,000,000 seconds is 31,688 years. So you think 1,000,000,000 is a lot? 1,000,000 seconds is 11 days. 1,000,000,000 seconds is 31,688 years. So, we owe 29 of those, if you paid a dollar a day, and another 157 of those if you add up all the unfunded liabilities. Needless to say, this is what we think is causing monetary inflation. I don't think it. I know it, but that is an opinion. The current figure for spending for COVID is about $3.5 trillion. Measured at a dollar a day, it stands at about 110,000 years. There's another $1.9 trillion in additional spending proposed in the next bill from Washington, and it goes on and on. Considering it is a massive eye-popping amount, we can assume it is a foregone conclusion that the U.S. will never pay off its debt. So what happens if it doesn't? Well, in the words of ex-Vice President Dick Cheney, deficits don't matter. Actually, they do. And they don't matter until they do. And we'll talk about what happens when deficits get too large in the next show. All right, remember, today's show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial professional for all your investment needs. And remember, the opinions expressed today are my opinions only and do not necessarily reflect those of the station staff, management, or underwriters. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks on Money Matters.